Parents, do you have high hopes for your children? Absolutely. Because not only are they important to us, we love them, we want the best outcome for their lives, but we live by extension through them. We always want a little better than what we experienced. We want to have for them things that we did not struggle with. And so it's pretty natural that you would hope that your kids have friends. At Stratford, Wisconsin, at St. Joseph's Elementary School, it was the third grade that figured it out. Out in the playground, they noticed that the first graders were often left alone or isolated completely, even as small groups. And so they went to their teacher, discussed it, then went to the principal and all the way through the school. They went to every classroom and said, "We have a solution. At the statue of Jesus is a bench, and we're going to call it Friend Bench. And if anyone has a bad day, if they're feeling all alone, if they're feeling bullied, they can go to the bench, and one of the third graders will notice and go and sit by them. You'll have a friend." Obviously, it made a lot of kids happy, probably even more so the parents, right? There was one parent in Scripture who wanted so much from her children. It was Eve. And even as her firstborn was in her arms, she thought he was the best friend of the world. Martin Luther said that there's more to the translation than we would often give. She said, "I have a man. I have given birth to a human." But it, in Luther, should be translated "the Lord," meaning the seed and offspring of both God and man. She was looking at this child as the Savior, the promise. And oh, how disappointed she would be, because he would be the greatest grief in her life as she would pick up the other son dead, and he would be displaced, cursed by God, driven out. And you know, I guess parents, we've all had a bit of that where we expected something more and we were sadly disappointed, perhaps in our own children, perhaps in our own behavior. And how much don't we put stock into marriage? We have all those high hopes. I've done so many weddings, 330 weddings, and I've seen them all glow. But then you find yourself alone on the friend bench. Where's the person that said, "Till death us do part"? And for our country, and for our career, we have these high expectations, but this text doesn't give you a syrupy outcome. It's a difficult one. Jesus doesn't settle the storm or heal the hurt. He doesn't raise the dead. It's just Eve and Adam in grief and Cain rebellious. You know, there's still a story here of the mark of grace, a beautiful one. And I want to talk about that mark on our hearts. You'll find my outline in the bulletin, and it's going to talk about the sign. It's going to be connected over there in the end of the sermon. The sign that indicates where our sin lies within, and then also the cure that comes from God. The sign marks that sin lurks within us. Their names are interesting, and it tells us a little bit about what their parents may have thought about them. Cain actually means that there is to acquire or receive something good. And Abel, interestingly enough, is the term vanity, in vain, or for nothing. You know, maybe Adam and Eve felt that Cain was the favored child, and he's the one they put on the land. "You're just going to be like Dad, and you're going to grow up with all these blessings. And Abel, maybe they pushed him to the side with the flocks, out of sight, so that he wouldn't be in the way of his big brother. Don't know that exactly, but the backdrop of it could suggest that. Most like Abel better than Cain, don't they? After they hear the whole story. But perhaps Adam and Eve contributed to the wreckage. You know, in 1952, John Steinbeck wrote his novel, East of Eden, taking the last words of our text and trying to teach his sons, his two sons, that this life is going to be a wandering. This life is going to be full of trouble. You're going to have help, meaning from above. And you know, this is so evident in this text that Abel may have been abandoned, and it might even be true that he found himself alone on the friend bench and then discovered there was a friend. And his call, his desire, his prayer, his life was to be united with God. By their thoughts, God knew what they really desired. He looked at Cain and Abel and saw them differently. He saw what was inside. In New Delhi, a man came into the emergency complaining that he had been very sick and throwing up. He admitted to swallowing a rather large cap of a bottle, and they found in the x-ray a blockage in his intestines. When they did the surgery and removed, they didn't find the cap. What they found was 12 little gold bars in his intestines, worth $23,000. Now, how they got there, we never heard in the story, but surely this sick little old man was worth a whole lot more on the inside, you know? And Jesus says, what will a man give for his soul? What will you exchange? And he calls out to Cain. Cain, sin is crouching at the door. It's trying to get you. You have to master it. But Cain, maybe he felt on top of the world, honored, loved, favored. He didn't need to master his sin. Unfortunately, it's like a disease that Caitlin McComish had. Caitlin McComish is a 20-year-old in Ohio with a very rare, unusual disease. Now, if you're a youngster who's participating in sports, can you imagine? She was allergic to sweat. And the more she ran, she loved soccer, the more she got sick. It closed off her breathing passages. She had some very close calls. And then her mom finally said, Caitlin, the doc says you can't keep playing soccer. Your life is more important. That's what God was saying. Cain, your life, your eternal life is more important. Stop! Won't I honor if you do the right thing? Yes, and Abel was the one who had done that. By his faith, Abel was received. You notice that in the text it says he brought the fat portions, the firstborn of his flock. So obviously the difference was within, inside. Abel was really in touch with God. He really understood God. He had faith. In fact, Hebrews 11 lists him as part of the hall of fame of believers. And it says that he did this out of love for God. Abel is known as the first person in heaven. He took the first seat. He would never have guessed that he, the youngest, would be that one. But he is also honored for all time because, as Hebrews 11 says, without faith you cannot please God. And it's almost like Cain and Abel are the dividing line of believers and unbelievers. Look what's coming out of human reproduction and family. You know, it can be said the same for us, that sometimes trapped in the sin of Cain, we are found to be troubled and in danger. Cain complains, you're driving me from the land, he said, and the very work that he sought the blessing from, working the land, is now going to be against him constantly. It's right in the text where it says the blood of Abel's crying out, and so nothing you do in the land will ever produce again. Get out, get away. And Cain was overwhelmed with the consequences. Interestingly enough, just like him, when we relinquish control to sin, it will diminish all the joy. There's always sort of a promise in sin, in addictive behaviors, that I'm going to get something that I really desire. And it will be worthless. It will result in nothing in the end. And you know, that's why often families are victims. They don't see it happening. It just creeps up on them. and it's crouching at the door, and it's children that are wounded for generations to come. You know, who really has ever found this any different? The warning is for us. What is the sin? It might be the sin of pride. It could be pornography. It might be the sin of greed or jealousy like Cain. It could be worry. We talked about that last week. It could be that you simply don't trust God, or you don't put God in first place as He commands. You see, sin is in danger of capturing all of us. But, there is a sign, not just that shows head and heart are messed up, but a sign that is linked with baptism that is of grace and mercy. There's a cure. God heard Abel's cry, and it came up before Him, and He graciously delivered him into eternal life. And there's another cry of blood that is linked to the cleansing waters of baptism. It's the blood of Jesus that cries out from the ground. It's the blood of Jesus that cries out for mercy. It's His blood spilled for us that is demonstrated. Ron, thank you for the cross and the wings, putting it around the trail of blood, which was to show our sins are on Jesus. You see, there's a promise here that surpasses our greatest expectation. And it is this, that God gave Cain another chance. He didn't wipe him out. He could have. He should have. A murderer deserves to be executed, yet God showed mercy. And when he complained and said, somebody's going to kill me, I can't stand this, I'm going to hate the ground and I'm going to wander, and God said, but I'm going to put a mark on you, and they'll have to answer to me. And then you hear and see that the Lord has provided a mark for us. As a pastor, I've done it frequently. I even tell the young couples, and especially the godparents, you'll know I'm going to do the baptism when I put the mark on. When I say, receive the sign of the cross, both on the head and on the heart, to mark you as a redeemed child of Jesus Christ. You see, He has separated you from the sinful world. He has made you His own dear child. It's not just a cleansing. It's not a dunking to wash away dirt. It's an adoption into His family. And it's there that when He looks at you, He sees perfection. Perfection, a perfect child. What He really sees is Jesus and Jesus' life and the sacrifice of Jesus. He sees that. He sees the blood, but He also sees the wings of hope and the resurrection ahead of time, for this was His plan. And with God's adoption, we have been declared family. We have received and will continue to see what is only His to give. He's provided the cure. And that's astounding. So if and when you find sin creeping in, crouching at the door, waiting to capture you, when you have been there before and you keep going back, then stop and ask God, don't let me be like Cain. I want to be like Abel. Faith is being sure of what you do not see and certain of what you have not been able to control or touch. Faith is being sure of God. And you're hoping for an ending that this world has never seen, and most people can't even imagine. You're hoping, like Abel, that as God has named you His own child, you will receive heaven. You are a child who is forgiven. You are going home, and you live by faith. Amen.